famous reindeer of all. Rudolph the red-nosed reindeer had a very shiny nose, and if you ever saw it, you would even say it glows. All of the other.
It is Christmas time in Tennessee Valley, and so the trap mix of Rudolph is really what I'm into in the dirty. I don't know why people can't form their own opinion. I seek information, process it, and form an informed opinion. I'm responsible for my own, and I encourage the listener to follow suit. I wish I had known this many years ago, because the unsolicited opinions of others would not have kept me from exploring the world more than I ever wanted to. I probably would have gone further, been gone more often, if finances and time would have allowed me to be curious. I wish happiness and light to every listener, that you too will read more, endeavor to eat amazing food, hopefully locally sourced, and create happiness. Take my words as I explore books, movies, comfort foods, and my own short stories. As I write my own short stories, I should say. As I create my own joy, or at least try. Write with me if you like, and share with others if it brings you joy. Light and happiness for everyone. This is my wish for us this holiday season. One of the things that always trips me out about my passion project and what I want people to really understand is I have many interests and I don't mind sharing them with people, and I always want my voice and the tone of my podcast to reflect my mood at that time. So I'm hesitant to just stop and record a show when my mind or my head is not in it, because I think that reflects negatively on the show itself. But even though I say I do the show for myself and I'm just taking y'all on for the ride, it still is a trip to me when I get people that download or they like the show's notes. But what's not helpful, I find, is when I don't, when people don't. And it would be great if I could find some way to have a wider audience, as well as sponsorship or tip, for instance. Or even buy my merch. I created a whole Tenfro merchandise specifically for the show. Or Tennessee Fro is reading merchandise and the inaugural merchandise several months ago. And besides some family members, which I'm completely grateful for, hashtag grateful, I am happy that they purchased it, but I want other people to also consider purchasing it too, because not only will it support the show, but I will have a better opportunity to continue to work on it and to continue to produce what I'm hopeful is a well thought out and a well received show. But I need the CPMs. I need y'all to purchase. I need y'all to support. But I also started moving my one of my channels from Podbeam, my Melanated Nerd channel. I've moved it to the free Anchor.fm platform for a number of reasons. Because if I get, I've had 3,500 people download or listen to the show. And if I had known, or if I had, and that if I had more opportunities instead of the few other platforms that my RSS feed submits to and gets updated, I would actually have more people on those platforms for whatever reason, you know? And it's all free, and I would not have to pay for this extra channel, so I can actually produce for the main show on Podbeam, submit it to Anchor FM, and get it submitted more widely. And if I got just 50 different users to download or to listen to the show, I would actually start getting paid and not have to worry so much about the CPM. I wish I could have had that as an option, and also being able to have access to a greater or platforms, greater listenership, more so than the listenerships or the other feeds for the other major, very crowded platforms. CastBox, as to name a few. And experimenting with it because it's also easier to add the Spotify music to it. And I'm going to, as I experiment with the platform itself, I think this is probably going to be one of the first time where I'm going to endeavor to do some editing with the narrative part of the show, and use, instead of using, because this is Logic Pro, I'm having issues with background music, et cetera, and the voiceover, because it won't really allow me to change all of the, oh, what is it called? Decibels and all of the background noise, and to filter all of that out. I'm just excited about the ability to include, it makes it a little, they say it's supposed to make it a little bit easier to include music on that platform, but we'll see how this particular episode goes. So there. So one of the reasons why I'm starting to move the 12 Podcasts of Christmas and some other content to Anchor, because number one, it's free, and number two, I plan on dialing back posting to my second channel on Podbeam. Not getting the same CPMs. It doesn't appear that I'm going to be boosted. It does not appear that everyone, I'm not having the same luck as I was this 1 year ago, because I did all of those posts. I got up to 3,000 or 3,600 listeners, and then it stalled, and I'm not really sure why. I don't know if my podcast is being blocked in some way, or I don't think it's a content thing. I'm wondering, I'm changing the quality of the podcast itself. I want to work on the audio, but I also want to work on that I'm talking about things that other nerds besides myself wants to speak about. Begin because I don't have any sponsors, but I would love at some point to have a sponsor or someone else that would absolutely believe in me. So how did I get to 3,000 and then it just stalled all of a sudden? Is the podcast not, is it being blocked in some countries? Is it being blocked for some other reason? I'm not sure. I'm hopeful that increasing the visibility by posting it to all these other platforms will actually give me a broader audience and get the views that I think that it should have. So there you go. And just a whole RS feed refresh, I think, is necessary to remain relevant. This going on my third year of being an amateur podcaster, so that's exciting.
This is a medical log, I guess. Zora's sending my vital signs and other data to Dr. Pollard. She's doing a case study on sentience transplantation and translation into a host, and I'm supposed to record what I feel. But it's weird, that word, host, because I'm not a consciousness conjoined with the host again. My new body is me, and only me. There's no one else here, no other memories or insights but my own. Maybe that's why it was so hard for me to find this body when my consciousness was untethered. I was in that fog of liminality, and there was no one to guide me. I thought I might be lost forever, but then I felt Adira. They were so present. They were there. That's how I knew I was already in my new body and needed to open my eyes. I had ears. I had sides. And someone who loved me was waiting there. Waiting for me. Waiting for me to come home.
I can't remember if it was Burnham or Tilly speaking to them about, I think his her name is Taj, or their name is Taj on the show. Well, the previous audio was from Star Trek Logs. Star Trek Logs is of the Star Trek universe. It is the personal and the medical, in this case, log of members from Star Trek Discovery. I discovered it, I don't know if it was after season two or season three that they were actually posting these online, and I was just thrown by how realistic and heartfelt they basically are. And you can really see some of these are other fans' websites or fan Instagram feeds. And you could also tell from the feeds how much or which of which series that they are fans of. For example, this seems to be dedicated to whichever franchise or show is actually live. So we get postings from all of the officers and some like the Cardassian human president of the Federation. But then I can navigate over to the ships of Star Trek, and there is nothing. I mean, absolutely nothing on any of the ships of any of the ships or members are talking about anything from the web, from the series itself. So I'm going to navigate over to Star Trek on Plus. I think this is probably sponsored through CBS, and they just posted about episode 4 now streaming, and I'm actually probably going to have to post or look at the Ready Room, because that's actually hosted by Will Wheaton. I am so not a fan of Will Wheaton, but I will watch this clip because it has probably one of my most favorite characters in it. And right here, I'm going to pause it. So if you haven't watched last week's episode for All Is Possible, There you go. Of course, I would get like a house music spoiler alert instead of like the red alert, because this, there are so many different spoilers. The Kwat Malat is back. And I'm going to discuss how I admire the Sylvia Tilly character, who is the consummate dork. And there's a training mission that goes wrong. And I'm in the process of watching Wil Wheaton talk about the lead up, because I'm sure he has direct access to this. But I'm not a fan. I was not a Wesley Crusher fan. I was not a fan of his mother, Dr. Crusher, for various reasons. And it's so funny. I also was not a fan of the Deep Space Nine Julian's character, who's also a Starfleet doctor. I think he was, they're both pompous and arrogant, and it makes the rest of us real life doctors look really bad. But that's just me. But this part or the next segment has a lot to do with the week prior and then this week's episode. And I will be reviewing and my take on some of the things with the tall characters, character and the transitioning of that character who is not just from, oh gosh, I thought I was going to have this race down pat. The race in Star Trek with the symbionts. Trill! Jeez! And Trills actually play a big part in one of my fan fiction writing. I suck. But anyways, I like the representation of the non-binary Tull character, and then the transitioning of the Trill character, Gray, who was actually almost killed, but they've been able to separate Gray's consciousness from the Trill symbiont and give them, I don't know, because he's transitioning, if he's transitioning to a him or her, or he's also going to be non-binary too. So I'm just going to give him a they, because I think that Gray, that character, would actually appreciate that. But with all of that said, that's one of the storylines of this, and the transitioning and the now consciousness. And I think they're going to have a lot more about the Tull character and Gray's character and how their relationship now is going to develop as they, from a cultural standpoint and from just a relationship standpoint, how they actually interact. But also, what I was referring to is my dislike of Wesley Crusher and Wil Wheaton. This week episode has a big
Wiseman opens a channel to talk to us about that game-changing Tilly news. We get a behind-the-scenes look at the latest Discovery episode. Plus, we have a brand new clip on our radar.
So I'm actually going to forward through, because he just talks so much about nonsense. And this is an episode where they go through several Tilly isms, and where she actually was able to, it was like a compilation, but in this episode or the end of the episode, she decides that she's going to take on a teaching position only temporarily. And this was after a training mission gone bad, where they brought cadets from all over the Federation together for the first time, who had never been off their home worlds and had never encountered other species. And they were able to not only get out of that situation because they landed on the wrong moon, and fight really cool. It was a very good action scene where they were absolutely able to fight the aliens that were on that. They were the aliens, but to fight the entities that were on this planet. And that's when she announced. But I also thought she was just going to go on maternity leave because I believe the character, the actress in real life, looked like she was pregnant. So bear with me as I tolerate Will Wheaton and enjoy this segment where he's interviewing or talking to the actress about her scene and the decision for her to leave the show. But they're leaving it open because it's like an assignment that she wants to do. But I think it has something to do with the real life pregnancy. But let's watch.
Next guest plays one of my favorite characters in all of Star Trek Discovery. And I am so thrilled to be talking to her now, especially after this week's slightly consequential episode. Please join me in welcoming Sylvia Tilly herself, Mary Wiseman. Hi, Mary.
Hello. Hi.
Hi. It's so cool to see you. Thanks for being here.
Oh, my pleasure. Really good to see you again, Will.
This episode was kind of a lot, and we have a ton to talk about, so let's get right into it. The jump to the future has been so challenging for the Disco crew in so many different ways. And it has set Tilly on this path toward figuring out what she really wants out of her life. I would love for you to talk a bit about Tilly's journey this season and how she arrived at this point.
So that's a great question. I think Tilly comes so hot off of her experience having to step into the position of captain. Mm-hmm. The end of season three, and having gotten a taste of that maybe not having gone quite as she had imagined it. Mm-hmm. But all of those things leave her a little less certain of herself and her trajectory than she's ever been before. Mm-hmm. And I don't think she knows what that means, because I think it's been a very long time since she didn't know exactly what she wanted to do. Mm-hmm. The first time you meet this show, she's very clear, like, I want to be a captain.
So I'm going to take a pause here for the cause and to look at the rest of this and speed up through it, and how, because I think she does make a good point. This has been a season of her exploring the why of it all. She is the daughter of a diplomat who, it sounds like, she went into Starfleet to get back at the mother. But now that they're 800 years in the future, the character says at one point in this episode that she did it to be seen, but then there's nobody left to see her because her mother's been dead for 700 years. So I'm going to look at the rest of this and then kind of unpack it in just a second. So as I've said, there's really no love lost between me and the Will Wheaton actor of it all. I really wasn't a fan of his character, but his segment with the character that played, the actress that plays Tilly, Sylvia Tilly on the show, I think it was absolutely, contrary to what I was expecting, was actually very heartfelt. If you have a chance to go to the Star Trek on Plus authenticated Instagram feed, because last week's Ready Room was probably the only one that I'm probably going to watch that much of, because I felt that it was probably one of the most heartfelt renderings. And I mentioned this, where she basically said she was on this path, and all she wanted to be was seen. So what she's now tussling with, what is she absolutely doing? You know, the person that she wanted to see her is, again, 750 years dead. And she has to discover what else that she can do or what she would do. They did not make any mention of why she They did not confirm my suspicion that the actress herself is on maternity leave, but Will Wheaton actually gave a really heartfelt, it wasn't even a question, it was just a statement about the compelling moment between Tilly and Burnham, where basically Tilly explains how she, or what she was feeling, or what she was saying, or, you know, why she decided that she actually had to leave Discovery. And I'm also noticing that there's also audio by the actress outside of the Ready Room, and I'm going to play that for you, and then I'll talk a little bit about it.
I've seen my life. And I started wondering if this is what I really wanted, or if I just really wanted to be seen. You know, and that was humbling.
But I think it would be a useful perspective for a teacher.
At the end of episode 4, Tilly kind of passes along this snow globe to Adira, and it says at the bottom, all is possible. And I think Tilly wants Adira to hold that message inside of them, you know, as they go on, that the limits they're placing upon themselves aren't necessary, and that they can surprise themselves, you know, because that's what Tilly's discovered through her own journey.
Reading that just from the script was beautiful, and I really loved it, and actually getting to film that scene, which wasn't even a scene between Ian and myself, we weren't speaking, it was filmed more as like sort of part of a montage, and they kind of even told us to kind of move in slow motion. Mary wasn't there at that point, and I'd finished filming all my stuff with Mary, so then having that little kind of montage with Ian and getting to finally see this like little snow globe that they built was beautiful.
We tracked down a custom snow globe company and spoke to Michelle Paradise about it. She was really kind of stoked to have the original Enterprise in there. And the cool thing I didn't know about snow globes is that the way the liquid and the globe work is that it magnifies anything inside there up to the size that it needs. So the Enterprise is actually only about the size of a silver dollar.
You are a reminder to me that everything is possible. That thing when you meet the younger generation, you just want to give them all the wisdom you have so they don't have to earn it in the hard way, you know? And I just hope that connection between Tilly and Adira stays, because Adira is weirdly like teaching Tilly how to be an adult.
And that is what I would love to a certain extent. Like, if when people listen to the podcast, I know that number one of the things that I learn as I'm preparing the podcast, I learn about the different worlds, and I read a little bit more about the basis of the storyline. I get to ask the question, well, what's going to happen to her character? Is she coming back? And I get to look for other sources. And what I am learning is I'm learning something more about myself, and I'm adding to my own knowledge every time I prepare one of these podcasts. And it comes in a fun way to, if I'm going to present it to somebody else, I want to basically make it kind of dope, because if it's not dope, then what's the point, you know? But they did I think episode 4 was one of those episodes that it makes me understand why people keep coming back why I keep coming back to any franchise or any series for in the Star Trek world, because of writing like this and the storylines and how well developed that they are. They are obviously paying the people well, and they actually have their writer's room has to be probably one of the dopest places to be, because they are allowed to create masterpieces like this. This particular episode just screams it needs an Emmy. It screams that there needs to, if it doesn't get its own Emmy within the conventional sense or the conventional categories, that there needs to be a whole separate category for this particular artistry, because this episode was dope. And it's also enlightening, and it was entertaining, but it also gives you actually hope for the future, that the only way we're going to make it through some of our issues is to be together. We got to learn how to work together and to live together in peace, because this fracturedness, or the feelings of fracturedness, has to itself go away. So that is the end of this part of the episode. So I'm sorry if you hear the game playing in the background, and it's multiple games, because for whatever reason today, of all games, not to be live in my market would be the Dallas Washington game that really, really needs to be playing today, but I'm only catching bits and pieces of it as it's in the quote unquote red zone. I'm watching this the Vikings, or is that Baltimore? It appears that they may be in Chicago with that crazy Lake Michigan. I'm sure it's Lake Michigan. Or is it Cleveland Browns? I think this is Cleveland Browns. And it looks like it is cold wherever they are. But what I was getting to is how you're going to have, of all teams not to be playing in the markets, like everybody's playing early today, but Dallas and Washington should be in my market, and they're not playing. I can't get that game live, so I've been kind of going around to find out which apps I can actually watch it untethered, and I think I'm going to see if I can absolutely find a live feed online. Dallas Cowboys live, because I can actually cast it from my computer. I would like to see more than just the red zone. They're 3-0 now, but it would be great to be able to watch them live. And again, it just trips me out. I get all these people with the commentary, but I can't find them on live game tune in alerts, latest news. I'll do that later. I'm not subscribed. Let's see. It looks like I get red zone because I got that. I signed up for that. Really want game day live. I don't want the highlights. I want to watch the game. So how can I watch the game? Red zone is not what I want. What is this total access? What does that mean? Is this every?
For the top agents from around the world, American, British, German, Colombian, Chinese, that we have a common enemy, so we need to join forces. We'll take it from here. We're the 355.
Rated PG-13. All right, thank you both. And of course, we had heartbreaking news hit the NFL last night as we learned of the passing of Demaryius Thomas.
Yeah, this is like one of those hosted shows, and it's not actually necessarily the game, so I'm not going to watch that here. And only game day. I didn't know Michael Irvin was on that. Ha! Y'all suck. NFL now. I can't believe that. Again, I'm just completely annoyed that DirecTV NFL. How can I get this? Shop NFL Sunday ticket. Order online. I don't have DirecTV, so I don't want DirecTV. I just want the NFL ticket. I already got HBO Max. See, that's how they get you. NFL Sunday ticket. If you just want the NFL Sunday ticket. Because I don't want necessarily... Again, I do not want Seymour plans. Got AT&T. I don't want DirecTV. I don't need DirecTV. I got Hulu Plus. I just want NFL Sunday ticket. Is that so hard? What is that? Oh! That was a long... Oh, I think it was interception. This is going to be a long game. Woo-woo! 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 That was sweet. And I'm going to have to clown my... Gonna clown my friend Janelle. So, but anyways, it doesn't appear that I'm gonna be able to get that NFL Sunday ticket. It's included with choice, but suppose you seriously don't want that. You know what I mean? And why? It likes they are trying to rope you in to this ultimately annoying package, which you don't need the package. I just want to watch. And I only want to watch one team. Y'all are killing me. Got Monday Night Football, but the Cowboys are not playing in this market. Actually, let me go back to TV map. So I miss like so many games because for whatever reason they choose, who knows, they basically choose to only support what's today? Today is December 12th. This is it just trips me out. Is there like a bidding or something like that? Because none of these are, none of them are on, are playing in the market. It's ridiculous. It's absolutely crazy that the only team that I want to see is not even playing in my market. It's so annoying. So I have to just get clips of it on not even playing anywhere in any of the markets. I don't know if it's like something random, because it was like on CBS the last time they played, but wow, I don't know how they get to choose which or where they actually play. But while I have this time, my head has been in clouds this past week as far as NASA news. They basically just completed the fueling of the James Webb Space Telescope. And in fact, it's supposed to launch in, I don't know if it's been pushed to January, but it was supposed to go up to replace Hubble this month. Michael Strahan went up with Blue Origins, successfully one of the few black people in space. Here we come. Can't keep us just restricted to here on Earth. I think that's pretty much the bomb. I used to, and I'm still really into the artist enhanced images, rendering creations and making me dream of worlds that are colorful, bright, and new. I'd like to be able to dream of these places filled with beings that are more endowed and more interesting than ourselves. There's no place for xenophiles and racists and misogynists, because the spectrum of life is just so vast. And we are only spectrums on the existence of truly of consciousness and what it means to be human and what it means to be have a consciousness. I appreciate my tiny part in this big wheel of life. I don't want to turn back time. I'll look back with nostalgia, but it'll propel me to continue to go forward. I know I need more than a flux capacitor in the back to the future kind of thing, but I still don't want to go backwards. I can only go forwards. I can only learn from past mistakes. I will take it, everything that I'm learning and everything that I'm doing, I take it in stride. I seek only interesting and different things that are going to make or possibly have, or I can use as a tool to help me in my journey of this life and into my future. As I continue to unpack, and I do like maybe a box a week, I closed on this house in June, but I keep finding things that I bought years ago but have a better place, or I find a place, or I could display them better here in my house, my current home, which is vastly becoming my forever home. It's not so much that I will do whatever it takes to keep my paying job, because I just love my job that much, and I really do like where I work during the day, but I am doing all that I can and looking to the future to see how I can remain where I am. And this house has a lot to do with that. I got places that are becoming more, it's becoming more and more obvious that they are a great place to take a nap. If it wasn't so cold outside and I could get over my phobia of flying things, I would actually be recording my podcast poolside in newly, those levity chairs that you see on Instagram are the bomb, y'all. But I say all of those things to say that I am probably going to create several pictures or include several, maybe I'll save that for expanded podcast notes, but the pictures of the different worlds, and the beauty of these worlds are what propels me to not only continue to watch Star Trek, but to write sci-fi and to experience and figure out why the artist renditions of these plays may not be actually what they actually look like. But it's just the beauty of learning and the beauty of being is just probably one of the coolest things. And now I'm going to go on to my take on And Just Like That. That is Sex and the City Part 2 that is premiered last Thursday. And again, this is another... That's spoiler alert by S3RL. I'm also trying to figure out what is going on with my mouse, because I had it on charger for a minute and now maybe I need it to be on my pad to pick up why it's not responding. Oops, there you go. Now it's connected. So, this is the 50-year-old Carrie and them Sex in the City reboot 20 years later. I had not realized that it had been off the air for 20 years. The last movie was 2010, which was not well received. I watched it recently. It was okay. All of the iconic characters from the world, this world of Sex in the City, are back. With this following Carrie, Charlotte, and Miranda as they are now in their 50s. This is, I didn't feel any kind of way. It was, I think this was intentional. They have intentionally... of Sex in the City. Candace Bushnell, the original iconic series was the Lily White experience of a witch, skinny white woman in New York, Candace Bushnell. This obviously has taken on a different slant because these... we are in a different age, and it is obvious that Sarah Jessica Parker and the other showrunner had a greater hand in unwhitewashing the new series, the rebooted series. There is a queer brown woman. There is another super rich black woman, the Ari girl from Soul Food and some other shows. It appears that Charlotte has had some work and it doesn't appear to be right good. I look at all of their necks. There's a lot of laxity in these white women's necks. But the fashion is on point, and it's obvious that there was a lot of money and a lot of money well spent on it. The writing, I think, is awesome. You'll notice this, like, almost everybody came back. How are they going to handle, how are they going to handle Samantha not being there? The storyline, she took off to London because Carrie fired her, is stupid because of the loyalty of the last 20 years. If they had just been more realistic, she should have followed the next biggest international star there instead of something as dumb, because that seems outside of what we have grown to know about the dynamic and the loyalty of the relationship between Carrie, the character Carrie, and the Samantha character. But the Jessica Parker, Kim Cattrall of it all, that their lack of relationship, they should have done a better job of bringing them back together instead of this shady sour apples thing, when we know, I think a lot of it has to do with the Sarah Jessica Parker of it all. But it's obvious now that she's an executive producer, and I don't know if she did any writing on the show. It is obvious that she was okay with that storyline, even though it would be outside of what we thematically, what we would have known about a true Samantha storyline. It would have been a better suspension of disbelief because of that. But her closet is still epic, and both, initially I thought that these shows that I basically watched were extremely depressing, but what I've found is now that I've actually sat back and looked at the character from Tilly from Star Trek, talk about that one, that character is going to come back, and she did not die, because I was very concerned about that during that action scene, and she handled it very well. But what I did not see coming, but I suspected, was Big is not going to be a part of this rebooted season in any way, shape, or form, because he's on the Peloton bike and he has a heart attack. All I kept saying was, why wasn't she dialing 911, bitch? Dial 911, bitch. Dial 911, CPR. What is she trying to do? Is she trying to grab him out and pull him to where? Dial 911 and do CPR. Again, they could have done a better job at handling his death. It would have been better. I'm glad she got to say, or he got to hug her or whatever, but it would have been more realistic if they had scooped him up, got him in, put, because he, that's right, he did have a heart attack, that one of the episodes where he had a heart attack before he came to get heart surgery before he went back to California. But what they could have done, if she could have acted, that would have been realistic. And if he'd gone into the CVICU after they had put some stents in his ass, that would have given them a more realistic slant. There are a lot of people that have heart attacks, but there are a lot of people that have heart attacks and survive if people actually react faster. And that would have been... And it would also have given, but that would have been a really cool thing if he had on an Apple Watch. You talk about product placement. Apple Watch and the notification through Peloton, probably if they had thought about this a little bit more, it probably would not have sent the Peloton stock shares plummeting, because if he had synced his watch and they could have detected some arrhythmia and then have activated or suggested that they activate 911, that would have been amazing product placement. But I don't know how much Apple would have had to pay to actually get that in there, but that would have even been more realistic. Don't you like it when people side seat drive your writing and they suggest things like the coordination between Apple and Peloton could have sent both of those shares through the roof instead of tanking the Peloton share, because after Big got off of his major workout, that's when he had his heart attack and he died. But people are silly, people are crazy, and people do... I think the bottom line is people make some irrational decisions based on their feelings. But that would have been an interesting storyline. I think they also did, for whatever reason, the ultra-rogue Miranda makes sense, but her getting it wrong and being a Karen accidentally also is really funny to me. And I like the dynamic, and I think what I didn't get is her allowing her son to shack up with that fast-ass girl. That's what I didn't understand. I was just so amazed at Charlotte and is it Lily, who is an amazing pianist, and how the adopted girl is more like Charlotte, or what Charlotte aspires to more so than the biological child, Rose, who was a bitch when she was a little girl too. If y'all recall her crying and she didn't want people to touch her, and now she's acting like a surly teenager and it's all about her. She's the one that I want to choke. But I'm also glad that they're old enough that we learn about adult masturbation instead of the deals with having, being ultra rich, in New York City and you're white. I think that dynamic is going to be interesting. I'm also interested in seeing how the Lily character being Asian, if they're going to do some storyline around if she's going to be the subject of hate crime, and how they're going to react to that. And how they're going to deal with the other uber rich white black character, the Ari girl. I don't even know her name and the dynamic, but Miranda busting out the bottle of wine, and they really didn't need it, but the black couple who are also, I don't know if they're nouveau rich, but they're of black privilege, New York, and how they're repping that, and how their son sucks as far as being a pianist, and how the little Asian girl, Charlotte's daughter, Lily, just rocked that out. Say what you want. This is, or has been, a good television watching week. And I'm absolutely here for it. In total. And I'm excited about the upcoming episodes of that. I binge watched Harlem, which they said is the black version of Sex and the City. Not really, because they are in Harlem, different part. They're in Uptown, in different part of Manhattan. Experiences are different, but all very similar. How to navigate your professional life and when your personal life is potentially falling apart, kids, etc. Harlem didn't tank a whole exercise company. I'm just saying. I'm also watching Abbott Elementary. It's about this inner city school in Philly. West Philly, that is, and that is going to be an amazing show. In addition to the rest of the season of Star Trek Discovery, it just seems like there's so much content out there, so many great TV shows. They are giving, or they've been managed to attract some of the best writers in the business, because what I've seen is many telescripts that represent a wider audience, and they're doing it authentically and well. Some oopsies with this script from Sex and the City, but it's also more broadly reflective of the society and what we'll tolerate at large than the original very, very white episodes or series. So I think they did a good job from that standpoint. I'm interested in seeing what the Nielsen numbers are. I'm sure everybody and their grandmother has watched it and may have rewatched it, because, as I said, the spoilers from the first episode with the death of Big, but they took it to a whole different slant about how you could also create an experience with the funeral. I'm like, y'all got way too damn much money on your hands. Now, I got to rewatch that episode because I remember that his ashes came. And I'm wondering if they're just going to spread them off the back of a yacht or at some to some winery. I'm sure maybe that's how they're going to actually have a spinoff or going back to Italy or to France and spreading his ashes overseas somewhere. But in, I think, episode 3, they teased that Natasha, Big's ex-wife, is back. And Big is dead. She's back. And I think that's going to take a whole other different spin on the upcoming episodes. I think HBO ordered 10. We're going to see how this is all going to play out. As I said, I'm here for it. I'm here for the watching. And it's going to be quite interesting to figure out all that's going to go on in the world of Sex and the City. And one of the greatest cities in the world, New York. So that's how I'm going to wrap up this episode of Tennessee Fro is Reading or The Melanated Nerd. I am thinking, because of or due to the length of this episode, that I am going to need to take my COVID medical minute. And because it's very visual to just my blog posting, I want to basically give a teaser for that upcoming and the promise of booster, because I am boosted, and the other parts of the immune system that actually allows us to continue to fight the scourge that is COVID. Natural killer cells and the hype man, the T helper cells. Only a nerd would get hype about something like that, but that's me and that's how I roll. But thank you for listening. Navigate, because you know I'm always on my hustle. Navigate to the blog site to pick up your merch. Chatterbooks to pick up the books and other merch that I've talked about, maybe I spoke about on the show. Writer's Block Coffee, Ship a Bag of Dicks. Use my promo code 10forgotjokes to get a percentage off of your order. And also Christmas time, that is the coupon code to get 15% off of your merchandise for the website. Also take a look at the blog itself. I have posted pictures of my cute dog Ethel, as well as my Griswold as Christmas lights at my house here in Chattanooga. And I'm just enjoying this season with the lights, with food and sweets, and just chilling and just being grateful for every day that I get to follow, pursue, and learn something that I know is going to help me in my hustle later on. Because isn't that the goal? You seek, dream, hustle, repeat. That's how I flow, and I hope that and wish that for all the listeners of my show. Thanks.